Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. Today we look back at the thread of the past few shows, discussing the importance of ley lines, imbuing a consciousness into the ley line, what that means, how to understand that, and in essence a preparation for next week's show. But first, let's look at some of the stories in other news. Here's a story. Pink slime manufacturer suspends operations at 3 of 4 plants. The company that makes, quote, pink slime suspended operations Monday at 3 of 4 plants where the beef ingredient is made, saying officials would work to address recent public concern about the product. Beef Products, Inc. will suspend operations at plants in Amarillo, Texas, Garden City, Kansas, and Waterloo, Iowa, according to Craig Leitch, company's director of food safety and quality assurance. The company's plant at its Dakota Dunes, South Dakota headquarters will continue. Quote, we feel like when people can start to understand the truth and reality, then our business will come back, Leitch said. It's 100% beef. Federal regulators say the ammonia-treated filler known in the industry as, quote, lean, finely textured beef meets food safety standards, but critics say the product could be unsafe and is an unappetizing example of industrialized food production. The low-cost ingredient is made from fatty bits of meat left over from other cuts. The bits are heated and spun to remove most of the fat. The lean mix then is compressed into blocks for use in ground meat. The product is exposed to ammonium hydroxide gas to kill bacteria such as E. coli and Salmonella. But one interesting aspect of this story is the will of the people. When the information gets out and the people respond, it hits the bottom line of particular companies involved. We're looking at a very important model of activism also, and it does remind me of the boycott, divest, sanction element here. It's another component of activism that I feel is going to gain traction. Here's another story by Ryan Villarreal. Deepwater Horizon oil spill contaminated ocean's food chain, study finds. I'm not going to say this was a no-brainer, but many people knew we were in trouble long-term here. A recent study has confirmed that toxic compounds derived from oil that was released in the Deepwater Horizon disaster in the Gulf of Mexico nearly 2 years ago has entered the ocean's food chain through microorganisms. The study, funded by the National Science Foundation and led by a team of researchers by the East Carolina University, the University of Maryland, Center for Environmental Science, Oregon State University, Georgia Institute of Technology, and the U.S. Geological Survey, detected chemical compounds found in oil called hydrocarbons, some known to be carcinogenic, within the bodies of microscopic crustaceans called zooplankton. Here's another story you may have seen. TSA continues to expand operations outside of airports with the Viper teams, by Madison Rupert. Through the, quote, Viper teams, meaning visual intermodal protection and response, the TSA, a child agency of the behemoth Department of Homeland Security, continues to expand beyond the confines of airports. He writes, in my view, the DHS is just about one of the least trustworthy government agencies we're subjected to. After all, they've been busted lying bald-faced to Congress about their activities, while the TSA has also helped cover up the danger of the so-called naked body scanners. That's an issue we covered in depth here on this show with guest Amy Worthington. Indeed, recently in Alton, Illinois, yet another instance of TSA goons operating outside of their traditional jurisdiction presented itself. This is being done under the guise of fighting terrorism, the same justification we're fed in an attempt to explain why our government can assassinate us without charge or trial, hold us in military detention indefinitely without any due process whatsoever, prevent us from exercising our right to free speech, and so much more. Of course, it's nothing new, and the TSA is actually continuing to expand even further onto highways and other methods of transportation. In this case, the TSA's Viper team worked with Alton Police Department at the local Amtrak station. As per usual, there was no actual threat, but instead the federal agency saw a chance to flex their muscles and further push the integration of federal and local law enforcement. The article continues, also worth noting is the fact that terrorism actually poses a ludicrously minuscule threat to the people of the United States, yet the government continues to pretend it is some monolithic threat. He writes, "My readers are probably well aware of this by now, as well as this is being used to justify the American police state and Big Brother technologies while constantly stripping away most of our essential civil liberties. If the people don't start speaking out about the increasingly troubling activities of the TSA and other government agencies, we can expect to see these types of operations continue and increase in frequency as even more of our rights are stripped away. Do your part by informing your friends, family, and acquaintances about how terrorism is not a threat, but is instead an invention used to justify ludicrous attacks on our liberties. Only by making more Americans aware of this reality can we begin to push back against the waves of disinformation constantly pumped out by the establishment media and our government." Here's a really interesting story about Freemason recruitment and the BBC. The Freemasons, an international organization often shrouded in mystery, is undergoing a rebrand. But what is this society and what exactly do Freemasons do? Conspiracy theories and controversy have dogged the Freemasons throughout their existence, fueled by their secretive image. But for some, they're just a gentleman's club devoted to charitable giving. Nigel Brown, Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of England, has answered a selection of readers' questions. A woman writes, "What's the most annoying conspiracy theory?" And he says, all of them. They all annoy us, and there's no truth or grounding to these conspiracies. The article discusses that response. And the writer points out, to suggest, as the Grand Secretary of the United Grand Lodge of England, Nigel Brown does, there are no conspiracies involving Freemasons is absolutely ridiculous. There are many documented cases of how men within the secret society have benefited in different situations just because they were Freemasons. They have been helped, aided, protected, and promoted by other Freemasons just because they belong to the same lodge or the same brotherhood. Favoritism and nepotism is everywhere. To suggest that Freemasonry is exempt from this is just stupid. We refer you to the book Inside the Brotherhood by Martin Short. The position that Freemasonry makes, already, quote, excellent men better, raising them to an above-human saint-like level, is nothing I buy either. A secret society like the Freemasonic Order is potentially a perfect breeding ground for wicked men who can infiltrate the Order and use their secretive underground code of silence, quality of the Order, for their own purposes. Because of this secrecy, men can and will be protected by other Masons. Their position in the Masonic rank is also important because they can fraternize or network with other people in positions of power. It's said that there are around 6 million Freemasons in the world. It's a small country. How can Nigel Brown speak for all Freemasons or even claim to know the quality of all these men? That's like saying there are no bad men, criminals, or conspiracies occurring in Bulgaria because their prime minister said so. Very interesting. It's going to connect to today's show. Well, we look at the thread from the past few shows where several guests have discussed megalith builders, pyramid structures, passive energies, and ley lines. And I'm wondering if you heard those shows, did you catch the parts where the guests had mentioned that consciousness is affected through these energy grids? Peter Champeau and Dr. Bolter referenced that specifically. But how significant is this? Well, when you have Freemasons performing rituals and Aleister Crowley imbuing the ley lines with a particular consciousness, it does make you wonder why it's secret. And is it for the greater good, or only for a few, a small percentage? Well, we're going to go back and listen to a few selected excerpts from past interviews with Dr. Ross Hamilton, Peter Champeau, and Dr. Carmen Bolter. Right now we hear a clip from Peter Champeau. He says, ley lines are the Earth's nervous system. They're waveforms that spiral and undulate, similar to our own DNA. And he says if these lines are kinked or blocked, they can create a geopathic condition affecting DNA, health, and social peace. Peter Champeau is the author of The Gaia Matrix, Arcom and Geometries of Destiny in the North American Landscape. But in this clip, he references a very rarely discussed interaction with these ley lines. Listen carefully.
Every river also has accompanying ley lines. Because of its waveform, it generates a ley line frequency that's connected with it. And quite often you have a ley line on both sides of the river. In the case of this particular ley line, the other side of the river that we have an alignment on, it starts up in Crowley's Island. I don't know if you've ever heard of Aleister Crowley. He was a character running around in the turn of the century that was into Satan worship and kinds of crazy stuff. And,
of course. He's mentioned in many songs, too.
Sure. So, crazy Aleister, he inhabited an island there in the middle of the Hudson River called Epos Island, and probably did some ritual out there. But running south of there, you have FDR's home. You know, and you remember that FDR, he was the one who started the use of In God We Trust and putting the pyramid on the dollar bills and this type of thing.
And, right. And he was visited by Nicholas Roerich, who influenced him also to do that. His museum is on the Upper West Side.
This might just be a conspiracy of grace. It might be just like building on things. But Alex Gray, the New York City artist, he's recently moved to Wappinger Falls and set up a center up there. He's the guy that does the real psychedelic paintings of energy fields of the human body.
Right.
This parallel line to this north-south line goes right down and roots at Cleopatra's Needle on the backside of the Met. So when you have Aleister Crowley at one end of things and Cleopatra's Needle at the other, Crowley was all about the Egyptian magic and pseudo-magic. Where the Masons determined to put these obelisks that they got, these objects of power, there's a great deal of thought that went into that. So I think that this particular line is something that was worked with, acknowledged, and West Point is also on the same line. It goes right through the Academy. This is the main power line of New York City. Now that north-south line that initially started speaking of going up through the Adirondacks, you know, that's like really fueling the electromagnetic field of New York City, because the Adirondacks are rising 3 centimeters a year. You know, they're rebounding from the glacier. And they're part of the Canadian Shield. It's the only part of the Canadian Shield that's in the continental United States. You know, you have this amazing skull cap of the planet that's just oscillating up there and sending its telluric current down every day. Tellurics move south during the day and north at night. That's why we get the northern lights at night, because the telluric currents are moving back and releasing up through the pole. So you have this tremendous energy, the spin, spin conversation of both the turbines of GE and the nuclear plant, which kind of amps up that energy. But it also, when you destroy an atom, it generates a discordant energy as well. You know, it's like you're destroying the most fundamental part of life. So that puts like this kind of weird discordant frequency into an otherwise very pure line, a line of water. You know, water is kind of, it's all about water. And, you have these rivers that just, you know, bring life and fish and transportation and all these things. But when you get it, when you bring that line down into the city, this is where it gets kind of scary, because right at the head of Battery Park City,
mm-hmm.
there's like a jog up there at the north end of it, and then like a ship harbor,
mm-hmm.
Goldman Sachs is just south of there. Right there is an intersection of a ley line. We'll go into what that ley line is in a minute, but right there is one of the intersections. But as this Tellura current runs north, or runs north, heading south from Mount Marcy, it goes right through the new tower that's been going up in the World Trade Center and bisects both the fountains, the memorial parks there of the old footprint of the trade towers.
Of course.
Of course, yeah. So this comes right down through the island, right through Bowling Green, and then hits on the Staten Island Ferry. If you were to extend that line further, it goes out to Sandy Hook, right at the head of the harbor.
Okay, as you heard, Aleister Crowley, he was obsessed with the knowledge of ancient Egyptian occult mystery religions. I believe he used this information to perform these rituals. And from there, Peter went on to discuss how a group of Freemasons make an annual trip to Owl's Head Mountain to perform a ritual there, an area where a ley line is rooted and it affects New York City. Past guest Dr. Ross Hamilton, who's coming out with a new book, by the way, titled Star Mounds, Legacy of Native American Mystery. Well, he discussed in a past interview how ancient American civilizations 4,000 to 5,000 years ago also utilized these ley lines and passive energy systems and pyramids. Let's have a listen.
You know, you get historical men who draw on history like J.R.R. Tolkien, who talks about races that lived in the past that were of very tall stature and were indefatigable and lived to be very, very old. And the world was supposed to have been different 5,000 years ago. The way the magnetic field was different and produced a different atmosphere. And the reality is that they had a technology, this kind of Atlantean and post-Atlantean understanding of the magnetic field was completely different from what we have. They literally tapped into the magnetic field. They used the magnetic field to convert into energy with the energy of the Earth, which is also produced by the magnetic field. But they had systems that relied upon their belief in Father Sky and Mother Earth. Now, a magnetic field can produce two different charges, the same field. Our Earth is a monstrous magnetic field, and it extends way out into space. And it protects us from the rays of the sun to some extent. But the part of it that moves through the Earth produces a charge for all the different kinds of material the Earth is made of, especially the crust of the Earth. And this charge gradually moves to the surface of the Earth, and it's basically a very positive charge, which means it doesn't have a lot of electrons in it, but does have a lot of etheric static energy, which we consider to be kind of like easy to deal with, very low voltage energy that you get like when you skittle across the carpet and touch somebody in the wintertime on a dry day. That's a low static charge. That's what the Earth produces. Tesla and others knew about this, but the ancients really, really utilized this knowledge by creating temple structures that were basically over areas of the Earth that were known to have a lot of this energy accumulate. And they could actually attract more energy from the countryside by using what we call ley lines, which are actually lines that we created by placing heavy objects or mound structures in straight lines and pulsing the energy toward a central area where it could be gathered up. And then, according to native legend, and in Egypt where they built the pyramids with the capstones and the little crystals on top and so forth, in America they had the crystals called the Ulanya Sut, according to Cherokee legend. And they would place these crystals or these, you know, copper or gold capstones at the apex of their temple structures. And we had dozens of them in the Ohio Valley called Manitous. And these Manitous were able to take all the energy of the Earth and focus it and put it into these crystals, and literally, like, you know, Franklin's lightning rod, would draw down the energy from Father Sky. So Mother Earth would arouse Father Sky. It was almost a sexual analogy. And in the ancient Greek stories, you hear about Uranus Sky impregnating Gaia, Mother Earth, with his spark of life. And these produced these offspring, the Titans or the Giants. So at one time, the Earth was literally a paradise, because when Gaia and Uranus, when Father Sky and Mother Earth, which is what we have in our own native dialects, were active, they produced this wonderful energy. And the Manitous were famous for them, and they would build their lodges around these Manitous, and they would create these environments that allowed for people to live to be hundreds of years old without aging.
And this energy wasn't necessarily electricity. It was energy of the planet that was healing and living energy created better crops,
right,
better blood flow, better thinking.
Exactly. We call it chi or life force or vitality or orgone. But it's what happens when you put a positive earth charge, full positive charge, with a negative sky charge, which comes from the clouds. Clouds are basically large crystals. And every minute droplet in a cloud, whether it's a white or a thundercloud, is separated by a charge. And when you have Mother Earth sending out a signal, the clouds are attracted to it. Wilhelm Reich started to do that kind of work with his orgone accumulator and so forth. But we know that lightning is attracted to these areas, but they knew how to take the lightning out of the clouds before it became lightning.
Notice that author and historian Dr. Ross Hamilton mentioned how the atmosphere was different from what we have today. And one past guest, Dane Wigington, agreed with that idea also. Not only is it naturally different, he says, but it's chemically altered by the ongoing geoengineering that includes aerosol operations, ionospheric heating, and more. So in addition to weather control, is this activity that alters the atmosphere also tied in to the idea of scrambling the energies to disrupt the human connection as we enter this transition to another golden age? It's something to think about. And Dr. Carmen Bolter says we're at the bottom of the wheel, the darkest point. We go now to hear a clip from Dr. Carmen Bolter's interview last week. Let's have a listen. A past guest had mentioned also that the creation of these megaliths that connect the lithosphere to the magnetosphere were often used and are now used by the Masons. And they're positioned on specific lines, ley lines, that in a past show were mapped out here in the area, the region around New York City. And he says they've imbued a particular consciousness through ritual on these lines. What is the power of imbuing the consciousness within a ley line? How powerful is that?
Well, now everything's crisscrossed and kind of, we're at the lowest possible level. Right now, we're at the bottom of the cycle and just about to turn. And so even the Egyptians had, you know, the Amun is the dark, and now we're just about to go into Heper, which is the sunrise again. And so whatever we're talking about in terms of ley lines and dark forces, consciousness, whatever, is scrambled right now. We've got, you know, HAARP and all these different systems, chemtrails that are, you know, kind of scrambling everything, and I think many people do feel scrambled. So it's impossible to compare that to the Golden Age when it was peaking and everything was more refined, and so they had higher levels of consciousness. You know what I'm saying is that it's entirely possible for dark negative forces to spoil things, and so we really have a lot of cleaning up to do. I'm looking forward to that. If the dark cabal who are preventing the natural wave of new energy to come through stepped aside and got out of the way and the financial system was freed up the way it should be, I think we could end world hunger and clean everything up within a very short period of time. There is a huge force that's preventing the healing. Now, the orb activity in Egypt has increased so much over the past few years.
Now, this is different. These are the...
No, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand, but...
They were really saturating areas where the ley lines were, right?
Mm-hmm. They tend to like joy and animals. And so when we go on a horse and camel ride and do the dancing horse party in view of the pyramids, the orbs are like a blizzard.
Can you physically see them without the camera?
Well, yes. And if you go on my website, you'll see on the front page there's this huge chalice-looking thing. I call it the Holy Grail of the Sacred Feminine. And I saw it out of the corner of my eye and got the camera. Now, I should have filmed. Instead, I just kept taking continuous photographs. But you can see it moving across, and it's almost the size of the Great Pyramid.
Whoa.
And it's obviously spinning because you can see it forming. So it's like a plasma being or something, but yes. Michael Ledwith talks about going out the same day with the same camera to the same place to photograph orbs. And if you keep doing it and then look at the pictures, it's almost like a biofeedback, and the brain and the eyes can start to say, okay, I can see them without the camera.
Nice. It's very interesting. We're removed from the natural telluric energy. And that telluric energy, according to Peter Champeau, has in it a memory consciousness, he says. And if you remember, Peter Champeau mentioned that if your house or apartment workplace was on a ley line intersection, you could experience paranormal phenomena, such as hearing voices, seeing apparitions, your thoughts are not necessarily your own, things like that. The next clip, it didn't make it in the original interview because of time constraints, but Peter really framed the paranormal and ley line connection here as natural affinity to one another. The lines can be vectors for memory, timelessness, and ghosts. What about paranormal activity in ley lines? And I know there's often a magnetic field connection here with some of this phenomena. Do you often hear this from some of your readers or some people who contact you and ask for maybe your ideas in the connection here?
Yeah. There's quite a bit of that going on. There's a house down near Socrates that, which is on this particular ley line. It actually goes the north-south ley line that I spoke of earlier, going from Mount Marcy down to Staten Island Ferry Station and South Station. That line also has Kingston on it and Socrates. There's Ghent on the other side of the river, and there's a huge flap of UFOs that were seen around Kingston area at one point. There was a house, like I said, down in that zone that was built on a portal zone. Portal in that it was a property that was left unbuilt, you know, just one spot in this town that nobody ever built on, you know, kind of keeping people away just out of course, but they ran out of places to put houses. So, okay, this fundamentalist family came in and said, okay, we're going to live here, we're going to build a house. Well, no sooner did they move in than they had apparitions of galloping Native Americans whooping it up in their living room with every time frame that ever existed in that area was being lived out in their living room. And finally the wife got sick of it and moved out, and the husband said he was going to pray it away, but now the house is just empty, and you know, you go by there and you know, you get these orange flashing lights coming out of the house, and they're just this, there's portals on these, you know, these are fairy paths. These are old memory fields. It's kind of where, memory gets attached to it. Memory gets attached within our own brains to certain entrainments and areas. It's this is planet brain, and these are nerve fibers that we're dealing with here. So anything that a planet experiences, you know, holds it in a memory field, and these memory fields are accessed via ley lines. You know, that's when you entrain these nerve fibers with a 9/11 event, then it gets into the consciousness of the planet. And so, you know, New York City being such a nexus, it can really expand upon that, and because everybody is international there. But so, you know, as well, Bigfoot is another kind of associated with this, with ley lines. And in Putnam County, it's loaded with Bigfoot sightings, and it's loaded with Bigfoot houses, is what I call them. You know, there are these anomalous rock structures that are made with these megalithic stones that only a 12-footer, could, you know, super strong person could move around. You know,
right.
You know, no farmer would ever bother to even think about endeavoring to move these rocks. You know, I mean, he's got a field. You know, he's got a field to plant. He's not going to be moving around these megalithic slabs to make a little house that only five Bigfoot can fit into. You know, so in Putnam County, you have it was really a community of Bigfoot in there, and that was they tend to hang around these ley lines. There's another ley line that I could move into that hooks up with Glastonbury Mountain up around Bennington, and that's called the Bennington Triangle. There's multiple sightings of Bigfoot in that area. Yeah, you know, I mean, Bigfoot, they tend to disappear, too, you know. They're kind of like they're here and then gone somehow, and they just appear like they vanish into thin air. So they're kind of dimensional beings in themselves. So there is a lot of paranormal stuff associated with this, with these lines, and paranormal people get to, you know, tend to get attracted to them, like, you know, Aleister Crowley and Alex Gray.
Indeed, and maybe we were also just sort of mentioning some of the famous Hollywood actors and actresses who live around up in Pound Ridge, that area, and maybe they have that sense of well-being or feel that energy, and I've often heard that mentioned.
You know, power, people of power are attracted by power, and this is what power is, and they're part of the expression of the collective consciousness. You know, the actors are, you know, acting out our joys and our griefs.
And next week, we will go a bit beyond the standard geomancy and into an area that could be discomforting for some listeners. We just traced specific points from past guests, Dr. Ross Hamilton, Dr. Carmen Bolter, and Peter Champeau. This may help form a deeper understanding of the natural telluric energy around us and then see how it is being blocked. Remember, Peter Champeau mentioned how cell phone microwaves or any kind of microwaves are blocking the human brainwaves from the natural tellurics. Is it similar to interference from Navy sonar noise disorienting and killing marine mammals? Maybe not so stark. But what would happen if humans had access to the natural telluric energy of the planet and the aerosol operation stopped? How would the younger generations respond? We're going to open the phone lines for the next half hour. If you have any comments or questions about this show or past guests, call us at 212-209-2900, and we'll be right back after this break. And you're listening to Another News. We don't have a guest tonight. We're going to take calls, though. We need your comments and questions. And call us at 212-209-2900. What we've gone through is played excerpts from Dr. Carmen Bolter, Peter Champeau, and Dr. Ross Hamilton. And the focus is on, can consciousness be imbued within the ley lines, the ley line structures? We've had a very solid background. I'd like to hear what you think about this.
Ley line, what is that?
What is a ley line?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, if you heard the first part of the show, did you hear it?
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay.
What is that?
The Earth's natural nervous system. It's like nerves traveling around the planet.
All right, now I'm asking some about the Bible. Now, the Bible says Satan is the prince of the air. Mm-hmm. Do you think that he's controlling that new wing at all?
I kind of do. If you have people like Aleister...
Thank you. You understand what I'm saying. You know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I do. If you have Aleister Crowley, who was a known Satanist, imbuing...
Yeah, you got it. Yo, my brother. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, imbuing the lines in Epos Island. And then it connects to FDR's home, Nicholas Rourke. This is what Peter Champeau was moving toward. And we were, as he said, we're building on things. Cleopatra's Needle...
Wow.
And,
you're deep, man. You're deep. You know what time it is.
There's a Goldman Sachs connection, too. And we all know what they're doing. And I don't know if you saw that story in the New York Times on the 31st, how there's a connection with Goldman Sachs and the sex trafficking in the back page of the Village Voice.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they only have a small... 16% stake. I mean, they don't need to do that. They don't need to be investing in this. Very interesting. It really exposes some other part. What do you think? What's your opinion on how that affects our consciousness?
Well, what I see is that the Bible says this. Those who have ears, let them hear. Those who can see, let them see. Wave lines, I think God made everything. But I think that Satan corrupted with Egypt, the whole nine, the pyramids, all that stuff, man. All that stuff that harmonic wave, making anything like that.
You're saying the natural energies of the planet have been corrupt. Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yes, that's what Dr. Bolter had said as well. She thinks that's the truth. And not only corrupt, but intentionally scrambled. And so we as humans, with our natural antenna, do not interface with the natural energies.
Because that energy has been corrupted by the devil.
And right as we are moving toward a golden age... That's what also a number of people say, including Dr. Carmen Bolter. We're moving toward a golden age. And this is where it's the darkest hour. We're at the bottom of the wheel.
Yeah.
I thank you for your call.
Well.
We go to another call. Hi, Ed, you there?
Yeah, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm good.
Yeah, you know, a few comments about what the theme of the basic theme of the shows in the past and of the past couple of weeks and what you're driving at. I do believe in what you want to call it, telluric energy or earth energy. I've always subscribed to the Gaia theory of earth, that earth is a living being and that we're all just reflections of that being on the planet. And as far as our body works, as far as you can compare in nature, the unit of the cell, how we mimic that in the natural order of things, how everything is self-contained and nature abhors a vacuum. Some of the stuff, you know, I have difficulty wrapping my mind around, like the UFOs and the paranormal activity. It for me, it takes away from some of the credibility.
Let's stop right there, Ed.
Yeah.
And try to understand a little more about this specifically.
Mm.
What we didn't really get deep into but hinted at was the ley lines are vectors for energy. Energy starts in a small form in these vectors, these ley lines, and they start to bubble up.
Yeah.
And I think get bigger and bigger. They may manifest as something else, or they may be able to record energy and store memory.
Yeah.
And there is there you have the instances that could manifest an apparition.
Well, that's what I agree with more so. Like with Jung and the collective consciousness, I believe that when you project positive or negative thoughts, because the thought is nothing but energy, that energy can be manifested and recorded on the earth and then can be amplified through these ley lines or telluric energy or cosmic force lines, as I've heard them called, that can actually manifest themselves and subject to interpretation of the person and the state of mind of the person. They can interpret it as this or that. But I think we got to get away from that because there is physical proof that these energies exist. With Nikola Tesla, some of the things I saw when I was in the service of this country's military.
Let me ask you we have to get away from what?
I think we have to get away from the more esoteric, you know.
Who's we?
Well, I mean, for myself personally, I have difficulty wrapping my mind around that esoteric. I'm a technician by trade and a scientist by hobby, and I like things that can be proved.
Gotcha. Now, are you curious about harnessing this energy in any way, or
the work
of Chris Dunn that was mentioned?
I've seen it harnessed in the military. I've seen things in the military that would really make you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the science in the United States is primarily junk, but there are a few people in specific places that have very open minds. And believe me, there's a lot of things. I've been out of the military for a few years, but there's a lot of things that were being developed back then that friends of mine have told me that have been developed now that you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are all these interviews online that you could watch about, I forgot his name, this guy who worked at Area 51 and saw that engine that that he touched, and it had an iridescent sort of glaze on it. And so, I mean, he was a rocket builder at a young age, and they took him under their wing and showed him all this stuff. I understand that.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to look at how the natural energies of the planet existed at one time, because I suspect that people might have an opportunity to utilize that in the near future.
Well, even in the Precambrian era and even in the Jurassic era, there was more oxygen in the air. There was more the air was more of like a plasmatic type of deal where energies could flow freely.
Did you notice Dr. Ross Hamilton mentioned that the magnetic field changed the atmosphere?
Yeah, well, if you look at the geological record of the Earth, the magnetic field has shifted several times.
Well, that made me think about how they were detonating the hydrogen bombs up in the upper atmosphere.
Well, I believe that they are trying to. Like I said before in one of the previous interviews I think you had when I was talking to a guest, some of these scientists that work for the government really believe that they know better than the natural order of things, and they get a little bit of understanding. It's like a blind man. You know, you feel something, like the story of the blind man and the elephant. One feels the trunk and he thinks it's a tree. One feels the leg and he thinks it's this. A lot of these guys are groping around in the dark. Even Oppenheimer said after he made the atomic bomb, I've released Shiva, the destroyer of worlds. They know a little bit of something, but because their minds are so closed, and they refuse to open them, they don't get the full essence of what they're really working with. And a little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
I understand what you're saying, Ed. I really appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. We're going to go to another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead, caller.
My name is Rose. It's always interesting to listen to you because you have all the great doubters, you know, whether they clothe themselves in science or religion or whatever. I just get very irritated at the lack of responsivity on the part of people all the way up through the political. Nobody holds Newt Gingrich responsible for his big drumbeat for the funding of the HARP and those sort of things. And I really think that the government is basically, you know, so frightened at this point. It's pathetic where we have anybody with an opinion, anybody with an idea, anybody with a sense of history, a sense of our native ancestry, is automatically ridiculed or, you know, squashed. Or it's just very peculiar. We have such a potential in this country to make peace in the world. And the profiteers who constantly profit from drumbeating through CNN or Fox, you know, oh, we're going to go to these people in Tehran, they have a bomb, you know. Why don't we send all the equipment over and say, well, we'll show you how to do it. Why can't the RB our lab?
I hear you.
We've just gotten so twisted in this country. Where we murder children in the streets, women's rights are no good, you know, don't eat that organic produce. I mean, what the hell do these people expect of us?
I think because you went from more of a esoteric element into more political, and I feel on the political end, one of the important tactics I think a lot of people activists should study, and a lot of listeners already know, is the withholding of their money and the boycotting goods. I feel like that is really the key. It's not the OWS did take your money out of the banks. I agree, but mm-hmm. I feel like the real effect would be to stop buying particular products and goods. And if you notice,
sure.
It happened with that pink slime stuff or whatever.
Oh, big time. Yeah. So, and you know what? As a former chef and a person who has studied psychic phenomena for many, many years, there's just this, I guess it's anal retentiveness that is so disgusting. There are no new frontiers.
It's intentional.
All about
I feel
it. We always
it,
did it.
It's intentional.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And I want to ask you a very quick question. Are there any ley lines in the state of Utah? Because now we've got Goldman Sachs going out there, and we also have that data connection.
That huge NSA compound.
DSA. Yeah. Yeah. What is it? NSA.
Yeah.
Is there a ley line through Utah?
Well, that would be a good question to ask Peter. I can shoot him an email and ask him.
Because when these people start running out to the mountains, you have to wonder what they have planned for us.
You bet.
They're telling us that they're saying, oh, well, there's no global warming because the scientists that we buy for $100,000 say that it's not so. The Earth is not dirty. It's not on the brink. It's, you know, they just totally disregard and disrespect the whole glacial situation.
One thing to look at are the churches, the Mormon churches and schools, and those are good starting points to look for ley line activity and draw the map from there. We can all do it ourselves and begin to study. And I want to pose this question: what can we do to counter the negativity within the ley lines? So something to think about.
Well, I think that we really, if we respect them, if we respect Gaia, and the beauty of this, the magic of this, then the forces that want to melt the permafrost and get ultra religious and, you know, greed out, take away the food that we love and deserve and on every continent.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to speak up and say, no, not now, not ever, not next week, not at the time of the election. The game is over, fat boys.
Yeah, I think it's happening, actually. Rose,
it certainly is.
Thank you so much for this call.
And they're scared to death of us.
I really
God
appreciate
bless you.
It.
You're doing a great job. You're the most interesting thing on radio right now.
Thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. We got another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes. Is it me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, fine. Carl Gustav Jung never posited a theory of the collective consciousness of the world. The phrase that he used and created was the collective unconscious. I think that's a point that has to be straightened out because I hear so many people calling in speaking of a collective consciousness.
Oh, that's a very good point, yes.
Of Carl Jung's, and it was the collective unconscious which he devoted his life to and never could really quote-unquote prove it because it was not anything tangible. However, he did use it as a theory and a way of getting to the layers of the human mind, which most people are not aware of, nor which he was aware of until it expressed itself in, for example, dreams, fantasy life, creative, artistic life, etc. There is no such thing as the collective conscious.
Thank you very much for that call, caller. One piece of information there to add is most people's behavior, I'd say 95% is unconscious. Stop being offended by other people's behavior because, and don't take it personal because it's unconscious, unconsciously motivated. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
Good.
Beautiful topic. Okay, first let me introduce myself. I'm a Mason. And I want to straighten up some things so let those listeners who are listening have an understanding of what Freemasonry is all about.
We just got a couple minutes. Can you condense it?
I'll try to elaborate. Sorry, at the end. However, as a Mason, what we are taught logic. How to comprehend the esoteric world with the practical world. The practical world is what you call the physical world. That is accepted in a literal sense. Let me just throw this out since we got less time. Let's look at the word world, W-O-R-L-D world, W-O-R-L world. If I was to ask the average person, can you change the world? Outright, they would say no. But as a master mason, we are taught to look at words and to understand the logic behind words called words is actually action. But if I was to say to the average man, can you change the world? They would say to me, no. But if I was to explain to them that the word world means aeons, and we have had examples of people that changed. And the times that people have changed, we can go back to history, and we can look all over history, and we can see that there are people who have done indelible things and changed the time. Like, for instance, the Civil Rights era, that's the era, that's the time. Dispensation, if you want to go further. But what has happened to us as human beings, we have lost the very esoteric of our own self, the deep meanings of ourselves, and we go forward to the self, to the literal world that we live in.
You know, caller, I feel that you have a lot of very important information to
give out. I wish I would call earlier before.
I do too. And
yeah. What I'll do next Monday.
Yes.
I'll call you back. So you're going to have to open the phone instead of halftime before.
Absolutely, I will do.
Because you know something? I'm glad that you get on the air because there's so much I would like to say. And what it's going to do is going to make people begin, or most people begin to think for the first time because we don't think in this society. Just like you were telling the lady, don't annoy your head about people's actions because, number one, most of the actions, 95%, not even aware of what they're doing. we are living in a world that is controlled by people that have knowledge that would suppress the knowledge that we need in order to strive. And until we begin to first understand the language, the English language, most of the time we got to go back to the Greeks. The Greeks got it from the Egyptians. But for those that who don't want to go to Egyptology, that's a different, because you cannot read the hieroglyphic. We can understand the Greek. We can use the Webster Dictionary or the Oxford Dictionary. I'll say this to all who want to listen to this call right now. Before you speak a word, understand the etymology of the word, the gender of the word. And by chance, if you do that, most of the words that you speak, you don't know the real meaning. So because we don't know the real meanings of the words that we use, we have limited ourselves, our abilities to be the people that the human beings first, and to be the beings that we are. We do. We look at the linear life that we live. The most important thing is everyone that's listening to me tonight, get in your dictionary, and every word that you think that you know, find the real meanings and go back to the Greek. If you begin to do that,
thank you, caller.
You'll get back the real power.
I really appreciate that.
All right.
Have a great evening. We can't get to the rest of the calls. Callers, if you want to just check in with me, you can reach me at inothernewsradio@yahoo.com, and I'll write you right back. And next week, we'll have a very special guest, 10 p.m. Monday. See you there.